Lord, we ask now that you would just speak through your word, Lord. Thank you for your word, Lord. This is what guides us. This is the compass that points us in the right direction. And I just pray, Lord, that we would follow what your word is saying to us today. Give help, Lord, I pray. Speak to all of us in Jesus' name. Amen. Back in World War I, Germany was one of the big enemies that we were up against. Of course, we got into the war late, World War I. We got in late. We really didn't want to get involved, and then we did. And so we decided that we were going to send some help over there to one of our allies, which was Great Britain. And Germany tried to warn us, and they said, look, in fact, this is a, it's hard to read over to the left. I put some of the key quotes that I want to stress here, but Germany tried to warn us. They said, look here, pal, what y'all doing? Don't be coming over here on our side of the ocean here, and tell you what now, if you come, you're liable to destruction. These ships that you are bringing over here, if you're flying the flag of Great Britain or any of her allies, you're in big trouble. In fact, it said that travelers sailing in the war zone on ships of Great Britain or her allies do so at your own risk. Well, that didn't stop us. We got a ship called the Lusitania, and the Lusitania had on board over 1,000 people, and we said, well, I tell you what, I don't think that they'll blow up a ship that's got civilians on it. And Britain said, look, if you come with your civilians on board this ship called the Lusitania, make sure you do a zigzag through, because they're going to be shooting torpedoes at you or whatever. So we took off. We did not listen to the warnings. We kept on coming. We did not zigzag. And Germany shot a torpedo and sank the Lusitania, and over 1,100 people died. A few years before this, I guess maybe the most famous, other than Noah's Ark, story of a ship took place. And a fascinating story, the study of the Titanic is, when you think about everybody who was on it and whatnot. But wow, warnings of ice ahead. You know, hey, Captain, look here, man. I know you're trying to get to New York City pretty fast and trying to set a record or whatever, but, you know, we got some ice spotted ahead. Full steam ahead. Basically just putting the warnings aside, and this ship is unsinkable. And of course, the rest is history as the Titanic sank after scraping an iceberg in about 2 hours. It was at the bottom of about a 2 mile, it sank for 2 miles before it hit bottom. And almost 1,500 people died. And so as we come to today's talk on heaven, again, what we're trying to make sure is don't let it slip by, because there are some warnings that we want to talk about, because all of us want to go there. There may be a few people out there that are Satanists that don't want to go, but for the most part, people want to go to heaven. And so it's a place we don't want to miss. We don't want to miss. And so the Bible says, though, that not everybody's going. Not everybody's going. And the Bible says that there's a wide road that leads to destruction. In fact, here's the famous verses, right? And as you're going down this wide road that heads to destruction, all of us need to enter in by this gate, which leads to life. And it says there's many people who are on the broad road. In fact, all of us, when we're born, we're on the broad road. But there's a small gate, and there's a narrow road that leads to life. But look at what it says, the very last part. There's only a few people that are on it. Only a few people are on it. So a lot of people want to go, rightly so, but very few find it. And so today's talk is, well, we don't want to miss the warnings and miss heaven. We don't want to go to hell. And so as we come to our passage today, it's in Hebrews chapter 2, there are six key words that we're going to highlight. And so you'll see these words in red in the title, okay? So over the title of the PowerPoint, there'll be a red word. So you'll see one of these six words. Our key verses are in Hebrews chapter 2, but let's turn back to the very beginning, to Hebrews chapter 1, and let's just kind of introduce things in Hebrews chapter 2 by looking at Hebrews 1. Okay? Hebrews chapter 1. Right out of the gate, the author of Hebrews says, "In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and various ways, but in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son," Jesus, of course, "whom He appointed heir of all things, and through whom He made the universe." Jesus created the universe. "The Son," Jesus, "is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of God's being. He's sustaining all things by His powerful word. After He had provided purification for sins, that was on the cross when He died, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty in heaven." He's alive. "And so He became as much superior to the angels as the name He has inherited is superior to theirs." And so we'll pause there just for a second, but we're introduced now to who Jesus is. And the whole book of Hebrews is about Jesus is greater than, and then it's whatever it is, the prophets, the angels, the sacrifices. Jesus is greater. And here in these first few verses, it tells us some wonderful things about Jesus. And he's the heir of all things, which he's going to be the king. He's the heir to the throne. Jesus is the king. He'll reign forever in heaven. He's the creator, right? All of these things. He purchased our salvation. He made a way for us to be with Him in heaven. And so as we just now turn to Hebrews chapter 2, and here's our verses for today, we want to keep this in mind, okay, what we just were talking about. That Jesus is high above everything else. He is worthy of our worship, as we just were singing about. Now look at chapter 2, verse 1. After reading chapter 1, it says, "We must pay more careful attention, therefore, to what we have just heard," what we just read, "so that we do not drift away. For if the message spoken by angels was bonding, and every violation and disobedience received its just punishment, how shall we escape if we ignore such a great salvation? This salvation, which was first announced by the Lord, was confirmed to us by those who heard Him. And God also testified to it by signs, wonders, and various miracles, and gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to His will. Now, I want you to look very closely at verse 3 because this is the key question. How shall we escape if we ignore such a great salvation? Okay, that's the key question that we want to focus on. But let's go verse by verse. All right, verse 1. All right, remember, there are six key words, and they're all going to be in red in the top of our PowerPoint headings. Look at verse 1. We just read chapter 1. We must be more careful, therefore. We got to pay close attention, therefore, to what we've just heard. What we've just heard was in chapter 1. Jesus is the Creator. Jesus paid for our sins. Jesus is the heir to the throne. Right? We've got to be very, very careful that we don't miss these. Right? Here they are. He's the radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of God, His being. He's seated at the right hand of God. He's greater than the angels. In fact, angels worship Him. He is God, and His throne will last forever. We didn't read that verse. That's in verse 8. But it says, therefore, don't forget these. Don't forget. During our study on heaven, you know, there's verses that tell us that we need to keep our minds on thinking on things above. Set your hearts on things above. Don't forget heaven. Don't forget Jesus while we're on this earth. Well, okay, why should we keep remembering about Jesus? Well, did you see it in verse 1? Because here's the problem. If we're not careful, we can drift away from what we've heard. From what? Salvation. Now, what do you mean here? We can lose our salvation? No. Not lose it. But not resting in it, not enjoying it, not thinking about it. We can drift away. So that's our second word. So what is drifting? Do you see that? We need to think about these things, think very carefully about them so that we don't drift away. Well, what is drifting? So let's say you're out on a canoe, right? And you stop paddling. Let's say you're going fishing out on this canoe. And there's a little bit of a current, right? And so you're just sitting on the canoe and you're just fishing out the side. Well, before long, that canoe's starting to move along with the current. You don't even realize it. Maybe it's a very casual, it's a very slow, methodical, you don't even know it's happening. In fact, you hardly notice it. It's very slow. Drifting could be in relationships where a couple used to feel very close in their relationship, but all of a sudden things begin to get cool very slowly. And you begin to drift in your relationship. Drifting is sliding by, coasting by. There's no effort in drifting. You're just there. Nobody's in charge of it. The canoe is just kind of going wherever the current takes us. And if we're not careful, the Bible says, if we're not thinking, we can get into drifting in our life. Well, how does that apply to us today, drifting? Well, let's take Christians. How would drifting look for a believer in Jesus? Well, drifting could look like, well, I got to go to church. It's time for service at 11 o'clock. And I'm going to come and I'm going to sit and I'm going to go through the motions. I'm going to sing the songs. I'll bow my head during the prayer. I may even come to a Sunday night service or something else. but you're just going through the motions, and you're looking at your clock, your watch, and you, hurry up, man. Would you hurry up, man? I got a ball game. I got to get to the thing. I got to get, you know, I got to get first in line to the, and there's no real heart involved in your worship. It's, you're doing the right thing, but you're drifting. Maybe it's, I'm not going to read my Bible. Maybe I'm not going to read as much, or maybe I'm not going to go as deep. Maybe I'm not going to talk to God. I did it yesterday, so I think I'm good today. And then you do it again, and then you do it again. And before long, you're just coasting in your spiritual life. I don't need to be with believers. You know, I can do this Christian walk thing by myself. I don't need to show up. And so there's this almost a Lone Ranger Christianity going on instead of being with others. Drifting could be forgetting where our home is. Instead of being an alien and a stranger here on this earth, we start to embrace this world instead of looking at our home. And you start to drift. You don't think about heaven as much. You're starting to drift. You're starting to coast. Maybe you don't even think about the unsaved anymore. You're just drifting. I go to church. That's the pastor's job, man. That's what he needs to be doing. We pay him all this money. He needs to be out there pounding the pavement. Come on now. That's his. That's what he does. And yet God has placed us strategically in neighborhoods, workplaces, families, strategically for such a time as this. And we know people that Dale doesn't know. And God wants to use us. Cliff told me this before, but there's a guy here, I forget his name. You know him. But he works at an ABC store. On purpose. In other words, he chose to work there. He goes to church here. And the reason why he does it is to be a witness. He says, I want to go where the hurting people are. And when you're drifting, you're not thinking like that. When you're drifting, you want to get away from the unsaved. And you don't really want to talk to them. That's somebody else's business. You forget God's promises, and so you're not relying, you're not taking risks for God. God, your word said, and I'm stepping out on faith. We don't take risks anymore. We want to stay comfortable, secluded, safe, in a bubble. I want to be in a bubble. Stay away from the germs. Whereas the example that Jesus left was he left heaven. You talk about a bubble. Perfection. And came down to us. Now I'm stepping all over my own feet. Okay? So if I'm not careful, I can start to drift. Forget God's promises. No risks. I don't want to be anywhere near germs. The unsaved. Drifting can be compromise on sin. No one's going to look. If I'm on this thing right here, no one's looking. I'm going to just, oh my. Oh, I shouldn't be on this. Just a little compromise ain't going to hurt. Be careful. Starting to drift. Rituals become more important than relationships. We're familiar. That's the problem with familiarity, right? What's the old saying? Familiarity breeds contempt, right? You get bored with Christianity because you're going through the motions, and so God becomes boring, and there's no life if you're drifting. The currents of the world are taking us wherever they want to go. Well, how does drifting look like for, here's a couple more. So getting casual about things of the Lord, just very casual. someone wants to talk about things of the Lord, you might mention a few, but let's get to the here and now. And let's talk about just what's going on and here and dabbling in sin. And I'll witness tomorrow, right? That's drifting kind of a mindset. I'll do it tomorrow. Oh yeah, I need to go call so and so and tell them about the Lord. But I sure do. That show's coming on here in the next few minutes. That ball game's going to last. Let's see. I'll just do it tomorrow. And then tomorrow you say it again. And you say it again. How does drifting look like for those who are not saved? Maybe on the fence, thinking about it. Well, drifting is being not committed, right? It's, I'm going to stay like I am because that's safe. Commitment's going to require me to go all in. I don't want to go all in. I like having one foot in and one foot out. Well, you can't do that. You're either all in or you're not. There's saved and unsaved. There's life and death. It's like, you can't be half alive. You're either alive or you're dead, right? It's one or the other. I understand the idea of being on the fence. I totally get it, but it's really not. It's one way or the other, right? Sometimes unbelievers will try to do Christian things and say, well, I've done the Christian thing, but see, that's just the rituals. That doesn't bring life. Rituals don't bring life. A relationship brings life. Rituals, there's no life. And so, helping people with the hurricane, the hurricane, those are all great things. Don't get me wrong. Christians should be involved, and be honest, we all should be, unsaved as well, helping out our fellow man. But some might look at that as that's the Christian thing to do, so I'll get involved in that, and that makes me feel better. But of course, the big one is, I'll become a Christian tomorrow. And that's what Satan whispers in your ear. Satan likes to whisper in people's ears, says, hey man, being a Christian's cool. It's actually a really pretty smart thing to do. Just do it tomorrow. The problem is tomorrow never comes. Tomorrow never comes. And then it's too late. You've been drifting. And you've sailed past the harbor. Right? So, for the unbeliever, they think they're okay. And so that's why they drift, right? The idea is I don't need Jesus. I'm okay. I give money. I'm a good guy. When I compare myself to other people, I'm doing pretty good. But the problem is that's not it. That will not make you a Christian. Doing things is not going to make you a Christian, and there are no good people. The Bible says, no, not one, not even your mama or your grandma. They're not good. I'm not good. And so we need Jesus, but oftentimes people who are drifting will say, I'm good. I'm good. Sometimes people who are not saved, they rely on their feelings. And, it's a very emotional service. When I went to the service, it was very emotional. And I just had this warm feeling. Feelings will never save you. It's kind of like feelings in a marriage, right? Feelings come and go. Some days you feel in love and other days you don't. But you don't rely on those, right? You rely on a commitment that you made. Because feelings are going to come and go. If you rely on feelings, you'll get divorced every other week. That's just ridiculous, right? So you can't rely on feelings of, when I go into that church, I just feel so close to God. That ain't it. You got to rely on what does the Bible say? John MacArthur in his sermon said this. He said, hell is full of people who really like Jesus. He's a good guy. But just said, nah, Not today. I'll do it tomorrow. He said hell is full of people that had good intentions. I
do want to get saved. Yes, I do want to become a Christian. I just kind of got a few things I got to figure out.
Hell is full of people with good intentions because they never committed. My goodness, I cannot believe it. I say it every week, but I'm serious. I just don't understand. I got so much to say. Ay, ay, ay. All right. Our next word is, see, the thing is that sin's got to be punished, y'all, and that's what's keeping us out of heaven. We think things that are bad. We say things that are bad. We do things. And you know what it says here in verse, for the message spoken by angels was binding. And it talks about how every violation and disobedience rendered its punishment in verse 2. And it's talking about the Ten Commandments, because the Ten Commandments were, the Bible, and here's these verses, you can look them up on your own, but when Moses came down with the Ten Commandments, the angels, the Lord with the angels actually helped with this the angels helped with this presentation of the Ten Commandments. And if you broke one of the Ten Commandments, there was punishment. For instance, the fourth commandment is to honor the Sabbath day. But if you broke the Sabbath, you were stoned to death. What about the first commandment, which was to have no other gods? Well, if you worshiped other gods, you were stoned to death. There was a very strict punishment. And that's the thing people forget. They think God is love. And He is, and I'm so thankful. But He's also holy, He's perfect, and He must punish sin. And so in Jude it says, the Lord at one time delivered His people out of Egypt, but He later destroyed those who did not believe. Did you catch that? He destroyed people who did not believe. The sin of unbelief. The sin of, I'm going to do it, but not today. Right? That unbelief. I'm not going to believe. I'm not going to. God must punish. So the argument here is, hey, y'all, look. Be careful, because sin must be punished. And Jesus' message was a message of hope and love. But it also said, if you don't believe, sin must be punished. And so if the message that angels brought, the Ten Commandments, had consequences, then the message of Jesus is one that we definitely don't want to forget. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. I mean, it's very crystal clear. Sin leads to death, and you and I are sinners. So one of the things that is very interesting about sin is that God punishes based on the amount of light or knowledge you've had. So you just sitting in here today, you are going to be held accountable one day for this message today. And all the messages that you've heard from Dale, you're going to be held accountable. And you'll be punished based on rejecting all of this light that you've been getting. Watch these verses. Jesus said, woe unto you, the town of Chorazin. Woe to you, town of Bethsaida. Watch this. For if the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in a couple of other cities, Tyre and Sidon, oh, they would have repented a long time ago. But I'm telling you, it's going to be more bearable for those guys on the day of judgment than for you. Their punishment's going to be bad. But for you, it's going to be worse, because you heard, you saw. How about these verses as well? The servant who knows the master's will and does not get ready or does not do what the master wants will be beaten with many blows. But the one who does not know and does things that deserve punishment will be beaten with few blows. Now, hell is hell. It's going to be horrible for everybody.
But people who've had a lot of light are going to be responsible for that light. And God says, why did you just drift on by? You heard about heaven. You heard about heaven. And you said no. You're going to be held responsible for that. It's very serious to play games with God. Don't drift.
God does discipline believers. The Lord disciplines those he loves. Now, we don't lose our salvation. Once you're saved by God's grace, that Holy Spirit is called a deposit. It's a seal, guaranteeing heaven through our faith in Jesus. But God punishes us here on as Christians. God punishes believers. And so believers aren't, you know, we just like a dad with his kids. He's going to discipline those that he loves. One day we'll stand before the Lord as Christians, and there'll be our life will be put on review, the things that we've done for the Lord, and if we've done things out of selfish gain, they're going to burn. We're going to suffer loss. We'll be saved by God's grace, but we won't get the rewards that God wanted to give us. There is an escape. How shall we escape if we ignore such a great salvation? You know, Jesus, it says that, in verse 3, it says that was first announced by the Lord. And in Luke chapter 4, right, it comes right after Luke chapter 3. And when Luke chapter 3, he was getting tempted by the devil, and says he went and preached a few places. And then he went to Nazareth and he preached the gospel to him. Well, he read this. Sorry, this is a verse in Isaiah. And he says, I have come to preach the gospel, the good news. And so Jesus is saying, look, that's why I'm here. I'm come to preach the good news. That's why I'm here. So the good news is there is an escape. The wages of sin is death, yes, but God wants to give us a gift. And it's eternal life. That's the gift through Jesus. Jesus says, if you believe on him who sent me, you have eternal life and you will not be judged, but you've crossed from eternal death to eternal life. That is the good news. Jesus died on the cross for your sins. We just sang about all them sins. And he hung there on the cross and he says, I've taken your punishment. Believe that I took your punishment. Believe that you can be saved by putting your faith in what I just did. I'm dying for you. I'm going to rise again. I'm going to sit in heaven. And those who put their faith in me will one day join me in heaven. That is salvation. Call unto me and I will answer thee. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's the escape. But the Bible asks the question. It says, how shall we escape if we ignore it? If we drift by it? If we say, I'll do it tomorrow? How shall we escape if we ignore it? Answer is, you won't. You won't escape God's judgment. And you'll be punished according to the light that you've been given. You can't escape. Why do people ignore this? Why? Well, because they're drifting. They're going to do it tomorrow. Some have a lot of pride and they think they're good enough. The example that I like to give is a swimmer out in the ocean. And you're drowning. And a lifeguard sees you. And the lifeguard swims out there and it says, hey man, I got this buoy. I'm going to throw this buoy out. All you got to do is grab the buoy. And the swimmer says, blah, 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 blah. Blah, 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 blah. I'm good. Blah, 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 blah. I think I can make it. No, dude, man, grab the buoy.
No, I don't want the buoy. I think I can do it. All the while getting more and more tired. Why do people do this? Pride. I can do this. I don't need Jesus. I can do this. And they ignore it. And the Bible says, how can you escape if you ignore Jesus? You won't. So what is this salvation? Look at what it says. How can you escape if you ignore such a great salvation? It's a great salvation. It's not a wimpy salvation. Well, it's great because it's free. First off, great because it was a great price. The Son of God, the perfect Son of God, left heaven and came to die for you and me. Wow. A great price. The perfect Son of God had to die. But you know, it's great because it's free. Now, I love things that are free. I don't have to reach in my back pocket and find my wallet and try to pay for something. I want something free. Oh, this is awesome. It's free. God says, it's like, you know, just he's handing you a Christmas present. When you get a Christmas present, you don't reach into your back pocket and say, Mom, you shouldn't have had to do that. Here, let me pay for that. You don't do that. You say thank you and you take it. That's what you do with a gift. And so when God wants to give us a gift and we reach in our back pocket and say, well, God, I've been pretty good. Let me help pay for that. I'll help pay for this. Okay, I'll let you pay a little bit. Okay, Jesus died. But let me do my part. I'll give to the church and I'll get baptized and I'll go to Sunday school. I'll help do my part. Jesus, I'm offended. I paid for that whole thing and I wanted to give you a gift. Don't offend me. Just take it. It's a great salvation because it's free. The Bible says it's not of works, lest any man should boast. It's a wonderful salvation. It's free. A second thing is, we'll never stand before God and have to answer for our sins because the Bible says there is no condemnation. Our sins are put away as far away as the east is from the west. They're gone. God remembers our sins no more. Praise the Lord. They have been forgiven, gone. No condemnation. Wow. Now I have to answer for the way I serve the Lord. But as far as me getting punished for the things I've done, oh no. Jesus took my punishment. He died. The wages of sin is death. I will never have to die for my sins. Praise the Lord. And then thirdly, it's everlasting. I'll be with Jesus in heaven forever. Beyond this earth, as we said, the new heavens and the new earth. We're going to be with him forever. It's called everlasting life, not partial. Well, how can I be sure? And verse 4 says, well, look, there was eyewitnesses. I mean, Jesus died and he rose again and people saw him. You saw the miracles. Jesus did the miracles, the feeding of the 5,000. He raised Lazarus. I mean, Jesus himself went up. Go to Jerusalem today and the tomb is empty. He is alive. The disciples did miracles. I mean, there's all kinds of evidences that Jesus is the real deal. He is the only way, he said. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father but by me. He's the only way. And so verse 4 kind of goes through all of these things. All right. Let's end. 1980, this man became a celebrity. His name was Harry Truman, not the president, Harry Truman. He lived in Washington State. He lived at the bottom of Mount St. Helens.
And Mount St. Helens began to rumble, gurgle, burp, struggle. And everybody began to leave. Everybody but a couple of old timers. And Harry Truman said, "I'm one of them. I ain't leaving. I've lived here a long time. This is my home. That mountain's not going to hurt me." In fact, he said, I don't think there's much left in that mountain. It's been gurgling and burping and struggling for a while. I don't think there's much left in her. And I think if it does blow, the lava's going to go on the other side of the mountain. It won't mess with me." And people tried to tell him, "Harry, you got to come." People go interview him. And he was a big celebrity because he'd never leave. When Mount St. Helens erupted, Harry had maybe, it says, tried to guess, maybe less than a minute to live. He had no idea what hit him. He probably died instantaneously, within less than a minute. Harry Truman ignored the warnings. In fact, school kids had written him letters begging him, "You know, you need to leave, man." Law enforcement came. They couldn't arrest him. I mean, at least they were afraid to. He died. He was probably the first one to die. Never left. Had the warnings. And he paid for his decision. I end with this. This was a quote that my mom found that my dad had written down. It's not original with my dad. My dad died. This is for my whole topic of my dad and my dog. When they died, you know the story. I've told you about it already. But this is a quote that my mom found. And Dad had written this down. He said, "Eternity is a long time to think of what you should have done when you were still alive." That's a long time to kick yourself. There's a lot of people in hell right now who are kicking themselves. Why did I not put my faith in Jesus? What was I thinking? It's too late. They drifted. In heaven was theirs if they would have accepted the free gift, but they said, "I'll do it tomorrow." Guys, I don't know you well. God knows you, and He loves you. He loves you. But God's got to punish sin, y'all. And He's punished sin with Jesus. And there's nothing else that has to be done. Nothing. Nothing has to be done for the forgiveness of sins. All you got to do is take it. But if you don't take it, God must punish sin. And He's going to punish you based on the light that you have received. And maybe today, if you die and you don't accept Jesus, you'll go to hell and you'll remember this very moment. And you say, "Man, I was right there. I heard about the good news of Jesus. And I said no." Don't drift, guys. Don't drift. Accept the Savior. What a Savior He is. What an awesome, awesome Savior who would die for us. We just sang, "I am bound for the promised land. Oh, will you come and go with me? Come on and go with me. I'm going to the promised land." Let's go. Put your faith in Jesus. Today's the day. Not tomorrow. Today. You can do it while you sit. I'd love to talk to you. Other believers here would love to talk to you. Just trust Jesus, man. Jesus, I come to you now. I need you. I need you as my Savior. I believe you died for me, God. It's not but what I've done. It's all about what you did on that cross for me. And I'm trusting in that alone to save my soul. And he'll save you. He'll save you. Let's pray. God, you're so good to us. I mean, you gave us another day of grace. There's another day, another opportunity that we have where there's life still in our lungs. We have another opportunity to hear the good news of Jesus. Lord, I want to pray for believers here first of all. Lord, help us not to drift, to be lukewarm in our relationship with you. I pray, God, that we would be on fire for you, that we would have our focus on things above, not on this earth. But Lord, I do want to pray for those who are not saved. Lord, there may be some here that are on the fence. God, today's the day. Lord, give them the courage to step out in faith, to put their faith in you, God. Oh God, save souls, I pray today. In Jesus' name, amen.